following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, guess what time it is? Time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this greatest Tuesday of all week. And have we got a show for you today? Of course, I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn, and joining me in studio today is...
Matt Dixon.
But also...
Cue her up, David.
Yeah. Blake, welcome to the show. You guys can... We made her mic hot today.
You did? You actually turned it on?
Yeah, no, she's live.
Is it on?
It's
hello?
On. Yep. Hi, yeah. And the world can now officially hear you. So there's three of us today. All for fun because how appropriate is this, right? Three microphones. So I'm in risk management mode now, right? Because I've got a newbie on the radio and I've got Matt, which I'm always in risk management with Matt.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay.
You never know what I'm going to deviate to in these talks. True. Like what's he going to say?
Like, I don't know how dinosaurs came up.
Well, I could pivot us to tacos. It is a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That seems standard, so I don't even know if there's a pivot anymore. It's more like I feel like that's gravity for you, and I'm constantly trying to get you to resist the pull.
But
to
I
taco
won't.
Tuesday.
I never will. Blake, what's your favorite type of taco?
I gotta say...
Wow,
just
she can't even handle the easy questions.
carne asada. Carne asada.
Okay.
Good girl.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I go for the burrito. I'm less of a taco guy. I'm more of a burrito.
Kick
guy.
Him out, Blake.
Yeah, no, you got
the
it.
Window's right there,
you
David.
Go.
You just need to jump through the glass.
No, I won't eat tacos. I'm just saying if I get to choose.
I would honestly pick a burrito too, but with the gluten thing, those flour shells.
Yeah,
they become an issue.
It's true, and they never make the corn tortilla. You can't get it as big and have.
Guess
like
how many
as
tacos
as
I've had today.
All of them.
Six. Three okay. for breakfast and three for lunch.
So, like, you're warmed up.
Just barely.
You're warmed up. Good, good.
If we finish it off at dinner time with another three.
Can you three for the trifecta of tacos?
I think I got to kick it to four. Dinner time, you're a little extra hungry, and I need to get into double digits. So.
And then could there's still fourth meal, right? I mean, made famous, of course, by Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. So, like, and what do they have there?
Ooh.
Tacos.
What about one of those ice cream tacos?
The Choco Taco.
He knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're
really?
Legendary.
You've never had one of those?
No.
They're delicious.
Yeah, do they still exist?
From where?
You can get at the store. The store sells these. It's chocolate true. Tacos.
Yeah.
No.
Ice cream.
I've never seen
chocolate
it.
Chocolate and ice cream in a taco.
No.
And it's like a waffly
It's like a
shell.
Waffle cone for the
yeah.
shell.
Yeah, it's
nope.
a thing.
I'm too... sheltered and young, I guess.
Oh. Yeah. Well, okay. Goals. Now you know about the Choco Taco. All right. So
now that I've ruined your show.
Now that we've taken that hard pivot to Taco Tuesday, we're going to take it back to... All right. So this is kind of a different show. Okay?
Okay.
But not like way different. Here's the deal. A lot of people don't know this, but I started in the financial business years and years ago. The first thing that I got was an insurance license. Right. And everybody goes, oh, God, insurance. And I go, that we actually think the same thing when it comes to like financial advisors. We kind of look at insurance and go, oh, grumble, grumble, because it's one of those things where you don't want to use it. Right. And it's like, why am I paid for this crap? It's, you know, I'd rather put the money somewhere else.
But it's not the first thing that you think about when you wake up in the morning, like, oh, I just love insurance.
Yeah. It's just, no. I mean, maybe somebody out there is like that. And you know what? You're an actuary.
Wake up and check
my
policy.
Or you're an insurance agent. Right. And even then, I think most insurance agents are like, I don't know. Right. But it's very much a necessary evil. It's really, really important. So we are going to take today and we're going to kind of unpack this concept. But I want to throw the word insurance out. It's kind of a four letter word. Right. Mm-hmm. And I want us to think about it through the lens of risk management. And one of the things we're going to do is we're kind of invert it a little bit. Like every now and then people are like, why is this so blankety blank expensive? Right. And I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about why is it like this? Because I'll tell you what, a bunch of you out there, you have some misconceptions about what insurance is, what it does. Or in many cases, there's some things that you think are insurance, and I don't think they are.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of curious as to where your mind's going with that.
Well, yeah, and what we'll do is make you listen to the whole show, and you'll figure it out as we go, right? Because we're going to kind of piece it all together. But the first thing is, do you have any idea how this concept of, like, what insurance, like, where did it start? It's been around way longer than you might think.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of cheated and Googled it earlier.
Good,
yeah.
Good. Our listeners appreciate right? this.
Yes. Goes back to the old days when ships were in motion. And if one sank, that's a lot of money that goes to the bottom of the ocean. And so they kind of backed each other up where it's like, let's put a little bit of money into a pot. And if something goes down, well, that ship can kind of lay claim to that money.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, right? So one of the things that would happen is, and this is, we're talking like way before Christ, right? Like 1750 BC, mm-hmm. With some of the original dates for this stuff. And then we're talking times where ships would go out and the voyage was financed, right? And so yeah. People would borrow money for the voyage with the expectation that when the voyage came back, the spoils would be used to repay the loan. Right.
But what if they didn't come back?
If they didn't come back, that was a problem, right? And so one of the things that they would do is an insurance was a form of loan forgiveness if a ship sank, mm-hmm. right? So they could validate that something sank and it wasn't stolen or whatever, then they would forgive the loan. It's a form of insurance, right?
The better the captain, the better the track record, maybe the lower the cost of the insurance.
Well, and interestingly enough, one of the original concepts of diversification was shipping companies spreading cargo amongst multiple ships to keep from losing everything in one catastrophic
right, so
event.
Instead of one ship carrying all the gold and one only carrying bananas, you
yes.
might split it between the two?
Yes, in essence, yeah. Silly but true. They're both yellowish. But yeah, yeah. So that was sort of the origin of this. Now, the reality is today we have way more sophisticated understandings of insurance. But what is it really like? Let's stop calling it that. Let's instead talk about risk management. Okay? Because mm-hmm. what are we really doing when we talk about insurance? What we're saying is
someone else bear my risk, because if it goes sideways, I don't want to be stuck with all of that downside.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And some of it is like, so Blake, I'll pick on you for a second. You're new, right? It's fun. If you get in a car accident and you damage somebody else's property and it's your fault,
mm-hmm.
okay, then what's supposed to happen is like what you are supposed to restore the other person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the insurance going to be doing in this case?
They're going to be paying for that, helping you do that.
Well, we certainly hope so. By the way, this is one of those, we should talk about risk. Let's take a step back here. How many of you guys, a bunch of you are listening while you're driving, right? I bet you a bunch of people are listening in their car right now. Do you realize that simply the act of getting in a car every day, that's risk management,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a very risky engagement that you're involved in. How risky is it?
I mean, a lot of people get hurt in car accidents every year.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Blake's I know a lot about that.
Right
I know
now.
About that.
How many cars have you put?
Matt,
to the...
Have you ever been involved in a vehicle accident?
Yeah.
Okay, Blake,
probably
have you?
Two or three.
Yeah.
How okay. many?
We're not discussing my accidents yeah. on the radio.
Well, I've
too
been
many.
Involved.
Too many.
I've been involved. My wife's been involved. The reality is, if you drive long enough, it's rarely a question of if, it's mostly a question of when will you be involved in an accident.
Yeah.
It is so common that insurance is mandatory, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is required by law that you carry a certain amount of coverage. Now, why do you think that is?
I've always thought that was crazy, little bit.
Go on. Explain to me why.
I just feel like it should be your
You're
choice
like, it's
whether
a free
or not.
Country. It's, I don't want to carry this.
I mean, no. I mean, I think if it was a choice, I would have it. But I think it's weird that it is. It's not a choice. Like you're required to have it, and which I understand.
Would you want? I guess the question comes down to: would you want the risk of someone who doesn't have insurance
right.
possibly hitting you?
Mm-hmm. And then what? They don't have any money to.
Right.
Pay for the damage.
Yeah.
So, unless you have extra insurance that covers the uninsured motorist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's typically part of the coverage that's required.
Required anyway,
motorist.
Yeah.
Because a certain amount of the population will essentially ignore the law, and they're going to go without insurance
well,
anyway.
You know, mm-hmm. one of the crazy things with car insurance right now is you look at what is the cost of a new vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of new vehicles that are over $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to get car insurance, a lot of these carriers just give you kind of the cheap option because they want to get your business. And so they're only insuring you for maybe $80,000. So say you're out driving and you do hit that $120,000 vehicle. Well, now you still owe $40,000.
Hmm. Yeah.
So check your coverage limits. Yeah.
In that respect. And this is why I still think that a lot of folks benefit from working with an insurance professional.
Right, because now, they save you from yourself potentially.
Yeah, because a lot of people will just kind of go, I just don't like this thing. The interesting thing about it, and Blake, I appreciate that you like go ahead and say what's on your mind, which is I don't like this, right? I think a lot of our listeners feel exactly like you. And the truth is, I'm not crazy about having to buy insurance a lot either. But the risk of running into somebody that doesn't have insurance and as expensive as it can be to get a car fixed. And what if there's a medical event? Like people get hurt mm-hmm. sometimes in these car accidents and it can be super expensive, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you go, well, this is a really good example to use to understand what the concept of insurance is for. If you didn't own insurance, what are you effectively doing? You're assuming the risk, mm-hmm. right? Now, funny enough, I think this is a true story. One time Bill Gates was pulled over. He was driving and they asked for proof of insurance. And he didn't have any. And they like took him and wrote him tickets for not having insurance. And he's going, guys, I don't need insurance, right? I can afford the risk. I don't have to have insurance. They're like, nope, law says you have to have insurance. I think it was ultimately like that part was overthrown because it's like, yeah, Bill Gates can buy the whole insurance company, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to have insurance because he can afford it, right? Like he can get you a brand new car. You had $1 million of medical issues. He can write a check and be okay with that. But it's really interesting. He can afford to assume the risk. Most of us cannot. And so what we're doing is, we are spreading out our risk by sharing with the other people that are doing the same thing, right? The idea is that we don't all get it. Like, all right, same question about accidents. Have you been in an accident in the last year?
No.
I have not, right? Well, look at that. None of us have been in an accident for a year. Now, you know, knock on wood, we don't want that to happen.
And then
now,
how much have we paid over the last year?
Right. See, that's the hard part. It's like,
right, yeah,
why
I just
am
forked
I
out $1,600
when,
this
well,
year.
Well,
yeah,
I tell you, somebody else was in an accident this year, and all premiums helped pay for their claims.
All right, okay? We're getting rid of the vehicles, and we're going to kick scooters. We're going to save
bikes.
That money.
All right,
bikes.
You're going to save on repairs, and your medical is going to go way up.
Yeah.
So
put that car seat on the back.
Isn't it funny, though? This is exactly the kind of conversations that you need to have about risk management. Totally relevant in a financial plan because we are surrounded by risks. And so really, there's one question that we ask ourselves when it comes to risk. Okay. You know what that question is?
Can you afford to take it?
It's going to be, it's not that question.
We don't get to
know. Although it's close.
We don't get to know right now.
We get to know after this break. So we will ask you to come around and see. I leave the cliffhanger on purpose. Everybody goes like, no, I want to know. All right, well, don't change the channel. When you come back, we'll talk about what do you need to know about insurance. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
And Blake Linnosbaugh.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQE. You can do when it comes to risk management. You can throw it in the garbage and start all over, as Matt said, but that makes it four things you could do.
Okay.
One, ignore it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's risk. Let's just ignore it. Whatever. You can manage it, right? All right, let's figure it out. Or you can transfer it. Okay.
Mm.
So, and really, the dirty secret, there's only two options because ignoring it is just really terrible management.
Yeah.
So
what does transfer it mean?
It means you pay somebody else to make it their problem. That's actually what insurance is all about, right? You are saying, and anytime that you work with a financial professional, to a certain extent, you are transferring some risk, right? You're relying upon their expertise to help you navigate a situation. And part of the assumption of that expertise is that they should be able to help properly navigate some of that risk, right? And properly navigating implies that there should be some risk mitigation. Does it mean that it eliminated risk? No, right? The idea of insurance is you are flat out paying somebody to say, hey, go calculate these risks, take some money from me, and then from the other people you're going to work with. And
back me up when it's
yeah,
time.
You're going to step in if this risk occurs. You're going to step in to cover me. This, by the way, is so I remember I told you, Matt, there's something out there a lot of people think is insurance that I don't think is insurance.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about, I need to share with everybody what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So the rest of this makes sense.
Okay.
I don't think health insurance is health insurance.
I mean, everyone is kind of now just eligible to jump in on it, right? And if you can't screen people out or deny coverage, that starts to just become like, well, we're here to just pay for you. You've got tons of stuff, and typically an insurance company wouldn't really want to insure you, but...
Well, keep this in mind, right? Here, let me ask the question really simply. Blake, can you get insurance on your house that's already burned down?
No.
Why not?
Because it's already a train wreck.
Yeah. They're not going to pay for something that's already ruined. Right. They know it's ruined.
Yeah, there's no calculating whether or not it will happen. It's done, right?
Yep.
And so, in essence, that risk is no longer an unknown.
It's occurred. Known.
And so there's no mitigating it. Right now, you're just hoping that somebody else will pay for cleanup. Okay. Insurance, by definition, needs to avoid what's known as adverse selection. Right. It means you cannot intentionally invite a bunch of people in that have really high risks that you expect to have to pay out for. Okay. The idea is not that you're insuring because you expect to pay out. You are insuring because you expect not to, but might have to in rare circumstances. That's what you're insuring for. And that's what an insurance company understands. Well, health insurance, because of the way the laws have been changed, and let's keep this in mind, right? I'm not saying if this is good, bad, or otherwise. I'm just telling you how it is. Right? This is just the way it works now, is there's no screen outs based on pre-qualifying or pre-existing conditions, right? If you get cancer, that's a bad one. That's no fun. This is a real one, though. Let's say that you are 3 months pregnant, okay? And we know that having a kid is an expensive endeavor in a hospital. Right?
Yep.
You're going to go to a hospital more than likely
in
order to
gonna be,
go through this process, right?
Thousands
and, it's
and
be
thousands
bunch
of dollars.
Of money.
Yeah.
An insurance company cannot say, well, you're already pregnant, so we're not going to insure the cost of you delivering a child. They can't do that. That would be denying coverage for a pre-existing condition, and the law doesn't let us do that. But if it were pure insurance, they could. They would actually check this and go like, we'll insure you for other medical stuff, but not for your pregnancy because you came already pregnant, right? It's different than, oh, well, we're not pregnant. Now, some people are out there going, well, that's ridiculous because that could happen at any time and they know that. They go, that's also relatively true.
Well,
and it also gets priced into the premiums.
I know with the health share thing that I do, if you're already pregnant, they don't cover it, right? You have to get on it before that ever happens.
Again,
otherwise they're just not
gonna
pay.
These are not federally qualified plans.
Yeah,
they're not eligible for being treated as insurance on
exactly.
an insurance exchange.
It's a
they
different
don't qualify
thing
for
entirely.
Employers.
Yeah.
And they also, I believe, don't qualify for a deduction. In many cases, health insurance premiums are tax deductible.
Correct.
And you cannot deduct these because they're not qualified by the same rules that we qualify.
Yep. It's
what
actually
we're calling
not
insurance.
Yeah,
right?
What I have is technically not insurance.
Yeah,
it's just a sharing
program.
Yeah,
it's a
sharing
program. Okay, which is in many respects what health insurance kind of was, but it was supposed to be for catastrophic stuff originally.
Right.
You know, the idea is that you're not insuring for your annual checkup at the doctor. You're insuring for the heart attack or stroke or some serious medical event that sneaks up and it's going to be really, really expensive. It's like, well, that was not anticipated and it's not typical. Right?
Sure.
So that the insurance covers those risks that you are not assuming, right? That's the part that we got to keep in mind too, is you're supposed to carry some of the risk yourself every time you get in the car, right? Why do you think there's a deductible on your insurance?
Yeah.
Because you've got some skin in the game. Right? Your deductible is the amount that you're going to pay first, which is why, I have a $500 or $1,000 deductible and I just cracked my windshield. Well, you may be buying your own windshield. because a windshield's less than $500. And so insurance isn't going to pay it anyway. So you're not going to make the claim. You're going to bear that risk.
Yeah.
Right? So you're bearing some of the risk. That's the part that you're going to manage. And then you're transferring the rest to insurance. So this to me is an important understanding piece for folks out there. It's like, what the heck is this even for, right? Well, crap happens in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it does. And I mean, everybody out there, I guess, here's the thing. Matt, have you ever had to use your insurance?
My car insurance?
Yeah.
Once. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It was like learning how to drive and 15 years old or 16 years old, whatever it was. And yeah, hit someone, had to use it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a learning curve. I mean, it's real life, right?
Yep.
Blake, you ever had to use insurance?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, I've had to use my own and other people's. Yeah, so.
I have. And I'm not just talking about cars, right? And mm-hmm. I've had homeowner's insurance. We've had, we had a pipe burst one time and a bunch of flooding that occurred. And so had to, and those are interesting too, by the way, because we're not going to go deep into it today, but if you guys are interested, we're probably going to do this later, but let me know if you want to learn more about this. I can bring on some experts and we can talk about it. And so email us at info@littlejohnfs.com or you can text 541-375-0898 and just say, yeah, I want to know more about the perils of property insurance, right? So property casualty insurance, you go, it's interesting, like, a lot of people think, well, wait, how's a pipe? Is that a flood? Is that flood insurance? Not the same thing. Really interesting the way those things get defined. But the devil is in the detail in policy language.
Oh, yeah.
You really need to understand your policy language well, which is also one of the reasons why I suggest getting help if you don't understand this. Right?
Right.
And notice I'm not naming names. I'm not saying go call these people or anything. I'm saying there's a reason that insurance agents and brokers still exist. And it's because this stuff can get sort of complicated. And if you have things that are valuable, you may want to consider that.
Yeah.
Right?
There's always, like you said, check your coverages, because a lot of the stuff you might assume is covered might actually not be.
Yeah, or it's not covered like you think it is.
Like homeowner's insurance. Around here, I don't think that, was it earthquakes? Like if there's an earthquake, it doesn't actually cover your home. Like your home could just completely fall apart.
And what?
Yeah, your homeowner's insurance isn't going to pick it up. That's a whole
separate policy. So is there a different type of insurance that
you
can get for? You
can buy earthquake insurance.
Okay.
Tsunami coverage, if you're on the coast, that is not standard coverage
with homeowners.
Yeah. Flood is not standard.
Wow.
Flood is separate insurance.
Yep.
And flood meaning typically external, but you have to consider also flooding if you have like your water main break or something like that. It could be external to your home but still enter your home, so that could be considered.
And then
flood.
What caused the flood? Was it a rat that chewed through a pipe? Because that might not be covered, because you should have had pest control. Right. So there's all these little gotchas where it's like, yeah, someone else is bearing the risk, but maybe not as much risk as you think that they're bearing.
There's nuance to it. And you know what? There are policies that will cover that stuff, too. You just have to know what is or is not in your coverage. And so that's why it's, I think, incumbent upon us to kind of understand what are the risks or perils.
Were you planning to talk at all about like life insurance and how that plays in?
I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking this is probably a really natural point to take a break, but we should cover that. So when we come back, I promise we're not here to sell you life insurance. That's not what's going on. But if you want to figure out, do I need it or not? Hey, let's talk about that and why it might be interesting.
Let's talk about getting hit by a bus.
We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And Blake Linalstaff.
And you got Truewell on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to the Truewell Show, where we are talking about risk management today. And Matt asks the question that is really mostly interesting to financial planners and nerdy types, but it should be interesting to all of you. You should be listening right now going,
well, by the end of this show, they're all just going to be, you know, really super knowledgeable. Interested. They're going to be Googling it every other day, reading everything there is to read about it.
Well, here's the test. If Matt does that, we'll know, right? Because
we'll just know I'm a psychopath.
The next
that point.
Thing for Matt is that we're forcing him down the path of getting his licenses for this stuff, mostly so he can take the 24 hours a year or whatever of continuing education for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, I promise. I haven't memorized all of the CE by now. Whatever. So, what was you were asking the question at the break, Matt?
Yeah.
About life insurance.
How important is life insurance in the planning portion of this and mitigating risk? Because that's kind of what the show is all about, right?
Okay.
Where does it land? How important is it, do you think?
So can I ask a couple of questions before we get there?
You can ask Blake all the questions you
Perfect.
Want.
Perfect. When you're talking about important, I mean, you're talking about how important it is in the process or how important is it to have it?
Just to have like a comprehensive plan, yeah.
So I think it's really important that you assess whether or not it's needed.
Right, because if it's maybe just you and you have no other family members, no kids or anything, it's like, well, if I die, no one's really depending on my income to cover them.
What is the point of that?
So you think about what is your insurable interest? What are you insuring for?
Right.
Okay. Now that's actually a misuse of the term insurable interest. Just so any like insurance people out there going to know, I just misused that. But insurable interest is when the insurance is originated, the person purchasing it, what's their interest in it, right? Like,
right.
Do they have a functional interest? Like, if I buy life insurance for my wife on me, right? There's an insurable interest. Yes, I'm going to put insurance in place so that if I die, she gets some money. Okay. There's clearly an insurable interest on that, but. Like, could, I don't know, McDonald's buy insurance on me? I'd be like, well, why are they buying insurance on you? Like, what do they have to do with you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, they wouldn't really have an insurable interest, so they can't just go take out insurance on me. Now, if I was trying to buy a franchise or something, then maybe they could, but they might have an insurable interest at that point. But we're not talking about that type of interest. We're talking about, like, in this case, is there a need for it, I think, is the kind of interest we're talking about. And so let's use me as an example, right?
Okay.
I have a family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If I die and I can no longer earn an income, do they have adequate resources to survive without me?
If not, maybe there's a need for a policy.
Yeah. If not, then we get life insurance. I have life insurance for my family because they are counting on my income.
Right.
Okay. So what does life insurance really do? I think it only does one of two things. Right? You're only insuring for one of two things, in my opinion.
Well, right? Death being the obvious one.
Well, all right. So that's what triggers it, I guess. But what's the point of the insurance? Right? It's to replace your income because you can no longer earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's to provide liquidity to your estate because you're gone. But for some reason, you need to leave money behind because there's a needed reason for it.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Typically, estate liquidity is because you need to pay taxes and you don't want people to have to sell stuff.
There's a $20 million estate in Oregon. They only had a trust with $2 million of exemption. Now there's an $18 million difference. And then the kids got to pay that. It's like, well, there better be, what you're saying is their life insurance could help pay that estate tax when
they're
gone.
So let's think of it more. I'm going to give a more comprehensive example for you.
Yes, please.
Here in Oregon, let's say that you die and you have a $20 million family farm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or family farm's not a great example because there are some special exemptions for family farms in the tax rules now. But let's just talk generically and let's say that that's how it works. So it's been in the family for generations. And when you die, you know, grandma and grandpa didn't have a bunch of money. They just had the farm that they've had since they got it from their parents and their parents homesteaded it, right? So it's been around forever. Now they want to pass it on to the next generation. The problem is it's $20 million asset. And Matt, as you said, hey, they got $2 million of tax exemption.
Yep, there's $18 million.
Because they did proper estate planning. But they have $18 million that
above
are going to get exposed
threshold.
To estate tax at roughly 10%.
So $1.8 million tax bill.
Yes.
And then the people that inherited that, they're like, how do I pay $1.8 million?
Right. And so now they got $1.8 million that they owe. And their choice is try to find some kind of financing where they could pull equity out of the farm and use the equity to pay the taxes and then pay the loan back somehow.
Or
if their life insurance is in place, they could use the death benefit from the life insurance to pay the taxes. Or the least attractive option, which is they can't keep the family farm. They're forced to sell it to pay the taxes.
Yep.
And so what we're trying to avoid is forced liquidation of something. And so insurance can provide for that.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you're listening right now and you go, well, that ain't my problem. It's like, you might be surprised to learn that the state of Oregon has really low thresholds for estate taxes. Some of the lowest in the country. Oregon is arguably the most expensive state, like one of the top three states in the country to die in terms of expense.
Yeah.
Very, very high estate taxes. Delinked from the federal exemptions. You know, you can have like $12, $13 million at a federal level, no estate tax. In Oregon, you can have $1 million.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you do improper estate planning for a couple, it's $1 million total. That you won't even get $1 million each. You'll get $1 million total if you don't do you do not do proper estate planning.
Right. So maybe I think a lot of people don't even know what estate planning really means or like what that entails. Do you want to take just a 30-second block of time here to talk about that?
I appreciate you bringing that up, Matt.
Yeah.
So estate planning is just kind of, it gets tossed around amongst financial folks. What it means is you need a plan to describe who gets your stuff when you die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you don't lay a plan out that says how it happens, the state's going to do it for you because there are laws for it. But the problem is if you don't specify certain things, the defaults are going to be a higher tax amount than if you do specify. And the other issue is if you don't pre-design your plan, meaning in advance, we're going to create a structure and organize it through the form of a will or what we generally think works better, although you know, I can't give advice on this, but generally speaking, I think trusts are more attractive.
Right.
It because the trust avoids
the court
probate
system.
Process,
yeah.
Which means, oh, great, I have to go into the court system, and that's a public process, so everybody can look at my estate and what's being settled, and a judge has to sign off on everything in order to transfer it to the next generation and the parties that I state in my will,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're like, well, I got a will, I'm good. It's like, well, you're good, but you're not optimized, probably.
Yeah.
You know, now, if you don't have any assets and you have a will or you don't have a will, it's not that big a deal because like there's nothing to pass on. So this is why like when you're really young, it's less of an issue. But if you got kids, you got an issue, right? Because who's going to take care of your kids? So there's some planning needed.
Yeah.
Right. And if you've got stuff that has title, then there's some planning needed. So just how it is. And we call that estate planning. I think I took more than 30 seconds. My bad.
No, you're good. Or you could do what you talked about earlier, and which is do nothing.
Yeah, just ignore it and let the chips fall where they fall.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, you're dead. What's
your
problem?
You're dead. It's not your problem.
So, I mean, that's people do it all the time.
Yeah.
And then the people we've had, Derek Simmons is an attorney buddy of mine, and he makes this joke, and he goes, here are the reasons that you don't need to do estate planning. You know, scenario number one, you are immortal. Like, great, you're not going to die. Not an issue, right? So if you're a vampire or something like that, you're good, right? And then number two, you hate your family, right? That's a good reason. Like, well, I hate you guys, and so I want it to hurt.
So I want this to be as hard and rough on you guys as possible.
Right. And then I think after that, number three was you don't have anything, right? Which is the first legitimate reason. Otherwise, it's like the rest of it's just, come on, get this crap done. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that are hygiene in the world. It's like, well, you don't have to brush your teeth. You just don't get to keep them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's how that works, right? So I suggest you brush your teeth. And estate planning is like that, too. Just bite the bullet. Do it because it needs to be done properly. And there's so many avenues to get it done, right? I mean, believe it or not, even Matt can help you with this stuff. You know? So you can call our office, and he will happily help you. Matt can... You know, he's, you know, not an attorney, but he is an experienced with helping get estate plans arranged, and we have resources to pull that off for you. So,
yeah,
you know, don't screw with it, right?
Just get it done. Yeah.
Okay. How did we just like take and like, we just stole an entire segment on, I think, life insurance and you should get a trust.
Hey, I had to work the trust thing in there.
Okay,
you knew like, I would do it.
It's a little like tacos. It's just, it's happening, right?
I work in tacos and trusts.
All right, so let's do this. I think there's one last piece. If you're out there wondering, great, where does all this stuff fit into a plan? Like if I'm trying to figure out what are the steps, okay? I kind of want to lay out some of the sequence of steps, like do this to this to this to this to this. And so let's look at that, but we got to take our last break.
I was going to say, I already know the steps. Call Little John Financial. We'll get you some tacos, and we'll get you a trust.
Yeah, and all the stuff. So stick around. We'll come back. Matt will give you phone numbers and all that, but we got to take this important break first. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
Blake Lynn-Ospa.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. Welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth Show, where we have covered all of the boring stuff already, right?
So now it's time for the riveting part.
Yes.
Does it get more exciting from here?
Well, evidently, Matt has volunteered to personally host at his own residence taco deliveries.
Taco? No, tacos and trust. It's a
tacos
package.
And
espresso.
And Blake's making espressos. You heard it here right
you
now.
You guys had any idea? I'm just you, my listeners, my favorite people, because the two in the studio with me are crazy.
Hey, I like having her on air because now it's two versus one.
It is.
And so
yeah.
We can team up on
there
you.
There is
bit.
This whole saga in the office about they want an espresso machine, and I am somewhere between rolling my eyes and trying to shut the door, and they keep like wedging their foot in to try to talk about this.
Blake
like,
will bring a
battery.
So
here's what
ram.
We need. We need all of you, the listeners, to go onto our YouTube and comment that we need an espresso machine.
Yes.
All right.
All in favor, say
him.
Aye.
So
I just saw 18 comments come in, David.
Yep.
I do
I
not
see 22
you.
Now.
I can
24.
See the YouTube comments, and I have not seen any even seconds or firsts right now for this.
If we pluck your eyes out, is that covered under insurance?
Yes.
Okay.
So
you just won't be able to see.
You're not
going
to be able to see the YouTube screen
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. It's that would be an AD&D claim. So
okay. Hopefully you're well insured.
Yeah, I hope so.
Deny us our espresso machine and just see what
it
happens.
It got really aggressive. Studio couch. Got dark, guys. It's okay. I still like my odds against you, too.
His odds are still pretty good against the two of us.
I
even.
Think so, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, just wait. Either one of you could throw your back out in like a half a second.
It's true.
Fragile.
We got the weak back club.
So, stop.
We're the
chiropractor
special.
Talking about risk management.
Yes, risk management. Insurance.
So, Matt, in a healthy financial plan, mm-hmm. can you give me a sense of what's the plan of attack as you are? Remember, this is not like you don't have to complete them all, but like assessing these, right? Mm-hmm. Like what are the things you assess and what's kind of the depth chart of how you go about this?
I mean, so the easy one is auto insurance. Like, are we walking it through that way? Like that's one you kind of all have to have because we've talked about a lot of different types.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about if somebody walks in and they're saying, hey, I want a financial plan. I want to do this. You know, I think some of this is Dave Ramsey-ish kind of things, right? You need mm-hmm. like a really basic emergency fund in place. You need to have the legal stuff required. So if you have a car, you have to have auto insurance, right? But what are the things need to sort
the
of
pillars,
be assessed?
Yeah. I think the big pillars are if someone's depending on your income, have a little bit of life insurance in place so that like you can buy them some time to grieve and take care of things.
How much do you think is, you know,
I mean,
ballpark?
I think the kind of the sweet number would be about 10 times your annual salary.
Yeah, that's like the shortcut version, right? If you say just pick 10 times your salary, and that's about right for the shortcut.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Plus, it's surprisingly, especially when you're first getting started,
it's not that expensive.
Surprisingly inexpensive. life insurance, if you're like in your 20s, is pretty cheap. I mean, you're talking about 10, 15 bucks a month in many cases to get like $500,000 to $1 million of coverage if you're healthy.
Yeah.
You know, your odds are pretty good that you're going to make it. And so the insurance companies get that too. And so, well, hey, you know, if you're like 90 years old trying to buy insurance, it gets really expensive.
Yeah. So that's a big one. I would say that if you live in a state like Oregon or another place that doesn't treat estate taxes really well, make it easy on the heirs, you know, so that they're not hating the like, you want your kids to be able to just grieve your death, not be burdened with a bunch of tasks and stuff drawn out in court and stuff being messy. Like, just make it really clean. So, I mean, you're not going to spend a whole lot. And most of the time, you know, if your assets are kind of what we talked about earlier on the show, over that threshold, you're saving money too. So it's kind of a win-win. So take care of your estate.
How old or what life circumstance do you think, and I know I'm just setting you up for this, we didn't even talk about it, but like, so you're kind of talking about, hey, a will or a trust. And we've already said, you know, we kind of favor trust, but how old or what life triggers makes that where somebody ought to start getting serious about that?
On the insurance side?
On the trust side.
Oh, I think that any time that you have any type of, like you said earlier, kind of just assets that are starting to grow and then kids thrown into the mix is never a bad time to start.
I think family, by the way, like once you start a family, it's a pretty good idea to start looking at that. What folks don't understand is, you know, you may change a trust over a lifetime. You're not locked into it.
Right.
So you can change amend things. It and change it and whatnot. And that's still very flexible. So you're not trapped if you do that. But it's a good point. If you're going to have a will, I think, you know, you're almost the same to just go ahead and get a trust these days. That was not the same kind of advice 20 years ago. Right. Mm-hmm. It was more like just get a will, deal with it. You know, trusts are fancy and they're for rich people. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think with the estate level so much lower that they're kind of more common.
Yeah.
Don't you tell me there's a comment on there.
Yeah, there actually was, and Blake's here to prove it. And
espresso machines aren't that much, David.
Direct quote. Direct quote.
You should see the ones they're looking at.
3-1.
You're looking at
$38,000.
Like,
come on.
Espresso machines, handcrafted from Italy or something. What is this made
out of? Do you want bad espresso?
Do you want microplastics in your coffee? We're talking all stainless steel parts.
I'm going to need life insurance because I'm going to stroke out from this.
From going on and on and on about the espresso machine.
Well, this is the hill we die on.
It will be.
It's going to be the hill that you're going to sink me on too. So, our poor listeners are like, get over the espresso. No, they're probably all on your team. They're like,
when they come into the office, why do you think Dutch Bros and Starbucks are so huge? Because people, it's not a want. It's a need.
It's a need.
They need their breves.
Because they don't want to make it themselves.
They need their breves.
Too much work. I want somebody else to do it.
Right. Exactly.
So you're going to get it.
So we're going to do it for them. You know what? We're going to be the next Starbucks. Little John Financial.
They don't even have to go to Starbucks.
No, they can just come to our office and we're going to hook them up because you're going to front the bill for the espresso machine.
This is the most remarkable radio show I've done in quite some time.
Still a lot of good content.
I've lost control of this show. Like, we're spinning.
We're pirates.
Into our oblivion right now.
Okay. All right. Back to the trust. I did have a question about trust. You were talking about how you want to make it as easy as possible on the person's loved one. So you're saying they should include like how they want their funeral to go and what type of
how
they want
question.
To be either in a, you know, buried or cremated.
Yeah, that's actually including often all of talked that about in that. It. Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I think it's a gift to a family if you know what you want. If you want to be cremated or something, say so.
Yeah. Right?
Because what you leave behind is kids going, or, you know, whomever saying, well, I think mom or dad would have wanted this.
Well, and that's one of the questions we
so
ask.
Just eliminate the I think that and say, I would want this, right? I've said this before in air. I want a Viking funeral.
Well, that's some of the big questions that are in the trust, right? Like, what happens to your stuff? Who has healthcare power of attorney? So you're laying there in the hospital. Who can make those decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Who can, like, hey, you're still alive, but you're not able to. Who can write checks, right?
Yes.
So financial power of attorney. There's a lot of things that it establishes. That is a good question, Blake.
Yeah. No, it's and we've already said, you know, the answer, when do you do it? Well, the answer is when you start having assets that are transferable, mm-hmm. and especially when you start getting kids in the mix, because, you know, you want to be able to have a chain of custody, who's going to take care of the kids, that kind of stuff. So the question, though, is how hard is it to do?
It's, well, if it's pretty straightforward and your assets aren't super complex, we can hammer one of those out in just a couple hours.
Yeah, it's amazing with the tools and technology today,
yeah.
how much easier and more accessible this is. And so
I've learned that, sorry to interrupt you, I've learned that being in the office, before I worked here, I would have thought that it was would take weeks, you know, but no, it's a very quick.
You can turn it into weeks, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quick process.
Well, look, I'm looking at the clock here. We got like 15 seconds left. So I think at this point, if you've got more questions, I'm just going to refer folks back to the office. How do they reach us, guys?
Yeah, 541-375-0898, or shoot us an email at info@littlejohnfs.com.
All right. Well, we're out of town, so thanks for tuning in. Until next time, this has been The True Well Show.